Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thank you for tuning in today. And today we're joined via the phone by Dr. Emily Hetty. Emily, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's 300 degrees outside, but other than that, great.
So it's not any cooler down in Lynchburg than it is here in Harrisonburg.
No.
Well, we have Emily on to talk about a conference called Leap Deep Conference. But before we get into that, Emily, just give us a little bit of background about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Ohio, so I'm a Buckeye. I didn't know anything about the Church of the Nazarene as a child. I grew up in an independent Baptist church, but, you know, God works in funny ways. And when I was in graduate school studying English literature, of all things, I started doing some work on John Wesley, and I got really, really interested in the Wesleyan holiness tradition and found it made a lot of sense for me of things that I kind of struggled to articulate through my whole spiritual life. So, you know, one thing led to another. We ended up living in Virginia because of work, stumbled into what's now Compassion Church of the Nazarene, formerly Lynchburg First. And it's been, it's just really been a blessing to be on that ride since, say, 2005 at this point.
Wow. It's amazing how God just leads us where our heart, you know, we have this desire to know and to understand, and that you found that in that class.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, I didn't go to a Christian school. It was at Ohio State, and then at Indiana University, I was studying John Wesley with atheist professors.
Wow.
But, you know, Wesley can speak for himself.
He doesn't need defending, right?
Right. That's right.
Kind of like the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and just that journey and how it led you to where you are now. And, you know, God obviously is using you there in Compassion Church and in the community. Yeah. So how long have you attended Compassion?
We came in 2005.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we did the whole church shopping thing, which, you know, that's an adventure. But we just, you know, we just kept coming back. It just, there was something really kind of energetic and raw. And it was like a puppy that was, you know, ready to break out every time we went to the church. And just wanted to be a part of that because I knew big things were ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been amazing to watch that church grow and just so invested in the community. And obviously we're talking today about investing in leaders and Lead Deep. And so I think that's a great place just to kind of segue into Lead Deep. The last couple of years, when Lead Deep was first born, I was really disappointed because I was on a trip and was not able to attend the first 2 years, I believe. And so this past year, I drove to Ephrata and was a part of Lead Deep, and it truly was a blessing and certainly refreshed my soul. And so I'm just so grateful to have you on here to talk a little bit about Lead Deep. And hopefully, though, if there's anyone listening today, that this will begin to maybe plant some seeds of them wanting that refreshment and a place to not only hear the word and to worship, but to process what the word that we've heard at the conference, what that's like, just to get in a cohort and chat with others. So, which I think is a really important part of the community.
You were talking about being part of Compassion Church of the Nazarene, which is, that is the church that this Lead Deep conference came from. And I have a little bit of connection to Compassion, being that my Uncle Stephen's the pastor there. But how did Lead Deep get started? Where did that idea come from, Emily?
Well, Stephen's your uncle, so you know he's an idea guy. One thing Stephen's also really good at is gathering other people around him to do a whole bunch of the work. So Lead Deep, I think it was really a Stephen's thing, and it grew organically out of other pastors connecting with Stephen and asking his advice or counsel or help in three big areas. One being leadership, another being stewardship. Lots of churches are struggling with resources, and that's something that I think Stephen has a good understanding of how to manage. And then the third was discipleship. You know, a lot of churches are really good at getting people in the doors, but then growing them into mature Christians who can then step into leadership is a whole different process. So those were the three big areas that Stephen was burdened about, and I think we're doing some consulting on and just some informal talks back and forth with folks. And, you know, over time, he said, you know, we really should do this more formally. We need to have some gatherings. Stephen had attended a pastor's gathering and had found it refreshing for himself and wanted to bring that home and structure it around these three need areas. So that was where the first conference came from. And that was, I think, 2020. It was right after COVID. And we were exhausted, all of us, when that conference came. And it was, Margaret, you used the word refreshing several times, and that is exactly the word I'd use to describe what that one felt like. It was just, it was so good. Made some lifelong friends there that, you know, I'm back and forth with on social media constantly. And, you know, it's been really good to be able to have a safe space to pick other people's brains.
Yes.
Sometimes to have a little outlet, sometimes to have someone say the thing you need to hear.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know, I believe this coming September will be the fourth Lead Deep conference. If I remember correctly, the first one was in 2021, which I actually missed that one because I didn't find out the details of it till a couple weeks before. But I've went 2022 when it was at Compassion. And then last year, as Pastor Margaret mentioned, it was in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. And then this year we'll be back at Compassion. So just talk about, it's set up for different people. It's set up for pastors, ministry leaders, volunteers, church staff, but also leaders in the church in general. So if you just want to talk about that and anything you'd like to share on that.
Sure. So let me just say, first of all, thank you for correcting my date, but we're September 26th through 28th this year at Compassion. And you can register on the webpage. We're still in early bird registration. So if anybody's interested in that, now's a good time. But yeah, the way a lot of conferences are structured, it's like you go into an auditorium and you just listen a whole bunch and maybe you mingle a little bit at lunch. Lead Deep is not like that. Lead Deep is a combination of a number of things. One is panel discussions around themes. And we have identified a theme for this year. We're actually going to work out of the first chapter of Mark and some of the things that emerge out of that. So we'll have several panel discussions around that. We'll have then breakout cohort sessions where we'll put you with a small group of pastors or church leaders who deal with similar issues to you. So if you're a worship leader, maybe not even a worship pastor, but a worship leader, there will be a cohort for that. There will be a cohort for executive pastors who have a very, very different kind of approach to ministry than somebody who is, for example, a children's pastor. And then there's another cohort that is less sitting around and chatting than working on spiritual formation together. So that's kind of how that works. We have our meals together. We talk all the time. There are testimony times that are pre-planned and sometimes that emerge spontaneously. There are worship times. It's highly participative. You won't fall asleep. You might come to take notes, but it's not a lecture.
Yeah, I think one thing that was really helpful is the panel aspect, where people are real. They are ministers and ministry leaders that are just sharing their experience. And when you have two or three people on a panel, probably one of those people, the people in the audience are going to be able to connect to. And I think that really helps to begin the conversation. It helps even when we go into our cohorts. It happened on the platform where they just had a conversation and talked. And so I think that is so important, that just building in that aspect of communicating and sharing honestly from the front, just about where each person was. Like, in this world, we all have struggles, right? There's no perfect scenario for any person. And to have a place to come and be real and then be able to process those things with others in like settings, like you said, whether they're a worship pastor. I'm in recovery ministry, so, you know, that was a cohort that we were able to really have good conversations around that idea of shepherding people and walking with others through difficult times. So I love that part of just the communication. You're not setting in that conference listening, and then you go to another, to a breakout, and listen to someone else, right? But being able to process is amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I would echo that. One thing I love about it too is, you know, it's not just sharing struggles, but it's also, and in some ways, I think you have to trust people more to share your happiness with them.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I saw a lot of that. You know, I saw people telling, you know, just hilarious stories over lunch.
Yes.
You know, I saw, you know, just to take one example, Cami Schuff telling the funniest story about moving the plant on the platform of her church to gauge everyone's change tolerance. And, you know, those laughing together moments, I think, bond the group just as much as sharing pain.
Yeah. Well, you know, Camelot was on our staff here at Harrisonburg.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she has some good stories. She actually posted a video recently that anybody wants to laugh, they should go. But yeah, I think that is, laughter is so important. And I heard a very wise person say one time that if we're going to learn to trust one another, we need to learn to laugh together and have fun together. And I just, there's truth in that, building the relationship and just being, letting our hair down, so to speak, and tell a good story and have a good laugh goes a long way.
Sure does. Makes you want to see that person again.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
And building relationships, I think, is as big a part of Lead Deep as, you know, obviously you learn things about leadership through panels and through discussion and through spiritual formation sessions, but the relationships that you build last, I know last year I was in a cohort with kind of media, online, tech stuff, and for a while, at least, we stayed in touch and, you know, you can have share ideas like, hey, this is what we're doing, what are you doing, to bounce ideas off of each other and learn from each other.
Yeah, it's a great resource. I was not part of the worship cohort, but that's one of the sort of leadership things I do at Compassion. I play the piano. And I've had an ongoing conversation with someone who was in the spiritual formation cohort with me about, you know, how do you keep the music going when you've only got a couple of mediocre musicians at your church? You know, how do you make that for the glory of God when it's just, frankly, it's a grind sometimes. Yeah. And you can't play in certain keys because they're too hard. And, you know, just kind of basic things like that. It's shop talk, but it's shop talk in the right spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to do with what you have. You can't try to do things that you don't have the volunteers for or you don't have the manpower for. So you might have to adapt depending on what your situation is.
That's right. And one thing I love about, you know, this friend I've made, you know, we don't go quickly to, you know, preaching about how Jesus did so much with so little. Like it doesn't ever turn sickeningly sweet spiritual. It's kind of like, this is a real issue. What are we going to do?
Yeah. And, you know, but I think what can happen and is when you get together to have these conversations, sometimes our perspective can just turn a little sour when we're, you know. But to get with other people and to be encouraged and to get renewed perspective, you know, it's hard. I'm fortunate to be on a team, a church that has, you know, a good sized team. But some people minister in just
obscurity,
isolation, and it can be really hard when you are in it alone. And to be able to come to a space where there's others that you can just talk with, and so it can help our, we know that it's, if you have coffee with a friend, like sometimes we just need help with our perspective.
Absolutely.
And that is one of the things that I really appreciate about last year was just coming back with a renewed perspective and not just my point of view, but others' point of view on the same matter. I mean, it was encouraging and uplifting. Just the team, and it was amazing how throughout those few days that we were together, just how we continued to kind of grow closer. And, you know, by the end of it, we were just, you know, we were family. We really were having deep conversations. And like you said, I'm keeping up with some of those folks through social media. And I think through the last few years, and 2020 kind of did a number on us, and we became more isolated. And I think some of that's happened to me, and I didn't even realize it. But this is an opportunity just to come, if there's people that are in that situation, even still, like, this is a great opportunity to come and just be a part and be encouraged by what God's doing And I believe that every person will head back home feeling refreshed and renewed and with a heart to do the next thing.
Yeah, one thing that was really helpful for me, I mean, I'm not on the pastoral staff at Compassion. I'm a lay leader. I sit on the leadership team and I do some music. I also get voluntold to do a lot of things, like I think a lot of people probably.
You're in the 20% doing 80% of the work, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's a good thing. But, you know, it was good for me to talk to other lay leaders about, you know, how do you really lead when you don't have a title or any budgetary authority or any sort of official hat that you wear that lets someone know you're there to minister. Mm-hmm. And that was not coming from a position of like, oh, I feel so left out. It wasn't that at all. It was more like, what have you done at your church?
Yeah.
So it was really, you know, really encouraging. And we all had different things. One person who's, you know, good friend now is really the only female in a group of about 12 men who, you know, serve in that kind of capacity. And it's a little bit lonely for her sometimes. And, you know, she had no particular concerns about anybody. It's just that she's the only female.
Right.
So, you know, being able to talk that through with another female, and blessedly I'm not the only one at Compassion working in that way.
Yeah.
You know, that really matters. And it reminds us, I think, that, you know, the kingdom of God's a whole lot bigger than our individual little congregations. Mm-hmm. And that heaven's going to be pretty diverse and pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is a place for mutual encouragement. And, you know, there were some really good ice cream shops down the road, too. And just some great conversations that happened. Like, there's some of us that are still talking about those ice cream shops. And we Googled it the other day. We won't be eating there. We'll have to find new ice cream places in Lynchburg. But
we like our ice cream here in our area. So we got to find it whenever. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So,
well, happy to help with recommendations. I know the town well.
That's good. Well, one thing that you all did last year was you wrote a book, a devotional.
Living Deep.
Yeah, Living Deep.
Yeah.
Would you like to talk about that? And just people may want to know about that and know where they could get it. But tell us a little bit about how that was born.
Yeah, so it actually started, and I've learned that this is a Compassion pattern. Things start small and then they explosively grow very quickly, which is great unless you're the one who's supposed to do it. And then it's exciting. But yeah, we started the idea for Living Deep as an Advent devotional. You know, the Church of the Nazarene comes from an Anglican tradition, Church of England. And it's a liturgical tradition. But I think most of us in the American Evangelical Church are just now getting on board with the church calendar, and we're being sort of part of what's happening in the worldwide church, mm-hmm. Church Universal. So the idea was, let's really do Advent. You know, let's lead up to Christmas, not starting on, you know, December 21st, but right. But let's really do it. Let's prepare ourselves, and let's do it with a devotional. So we got some volunteers. We wrote some devotionals. And we had a little format. You know, we said have a verse at the start and a little 200-word devotional and then a little prayer at the end, and we'll assemble these. Well, they came in, and they were really good. And I see Stephen kind of hot-footing it over to me one Sunday, and, you know, my thought is, oh, no, he wants something. And sure enough, he said, you know, I have a thought. What if we make it a 365-day devotional?
Oh.
But no, we'll do it sometime. I was like, all right, that's a good idea. Let me pray about it. So, you know, of course, I prayed about it. And unfortunately, God said we needed to make it a 365-day devotional. So I had a lot more work to do. So we started working on that. And things were coming in. You know, we sent out messages to folks who were in the Lead Deep Collective soliciting content. It was coming in. It was really good. People had some great perspectives. And we started seeing themes emerge. If you're doing the Living Deep devotional, you've just seen, you know, several entries on forgiveness, and they each come from a somewhat different perspective, which is so valuable. So that was going well. And then we decided to speed up the timeline, which once again, it got a little crazy. But we ended up, as a result of that, you know, we sent out a second solicitation. So some folks sent us some things that they initially said, I wasn't sure I want to send this, but then it was just so good and so timely. We drew on some writers from church history, some poets, some thinkers, some theologians, to kind of intersperse with our voices, because we are part of this, you know, we're the Church Universal, right? Not just the Virginia Church of the Nazarene. So just kind of reminding us we're all in conversation with each other. So we have this daily devotional. You can get it on the Lead Deep website. You can also get it on Amazon, but why would you do that if you could get it on the Lead Deep website?
That's right.
So anyway, it's there. I do it as my, I edited it, and I wrote quite a few of the entries, but I actually do it as my daily devotional first thing every morning now. And it's really great to go at it from that perspective rather than from a technical editing perspective. Yeah. So I can recommend it.
Yeah, I've been doing that as my devotional this year, and it's been really good. Many different people contributed to that, and it's great to hear different perspectives, different things like that. So thank you all for putting that together. And I actually got that email, but I'm not a writer. I'm more of a radio guy. So I kind of wanted to put something in, but I've never written a devotional. But I know my dad said he had sent my Uncle Stephen a couple things, and my Uncle Stephen's like, this is great. Send me more.
Yep, that sounds right.
I was asked to, and I got busy and missed the cutoff. So,
but well, it's, maybe there will be a next time.
Yeah, maybe there's a second edition.
Yeah, I do think some people did voice to text. So, you know, Grayson, if you just want to talk at it for a while next time, feel free. Yeah. We'll make it into writing.
I'll have to do that, especially with notes on my phone now. I use that quite a bit to voice text. So,
yeah, one of them arrived without any punctuation marks of any sort. So that was interesting. Well, the content was great. It just took me a little bit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So we've mentioned the Lead Deep website, and that's leaddeep.org, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that's a one stop, so you don't even have to look for the book on Amazon. You can just look there, or if you want to register for Lead Deep. And there's other resources also available on that website, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think those are the two big things. But there's been a blog, some things like that on there. Also a way to contact. So, you know, if in your local congregation, you just want to talk over something, you know, maybe it's a capital campaign, or maybe it's, you know, some training for youth leaders or something, you know, Lead Deep may be able to help. So, you know, feel free to use that resource to reach out, and we'll see if we can help out.
That's great. There's such value in everyone coming together and for the glory of God. You know, it started out, I don't even know how many people came the first year. I mean, I'm sure it's grown. And the fact that we went all the way to Pennsylvania, you know, it does seem like when Stephen Willis does things, they grow. And so,
yep.
but the Lord's in that, you know, yeah, the Lord right. is in that, and it's very evident. So just grateful for those Willis boys and just how they continue to bring us together and for the glory of God.
Yep.
I was just going to say the power of a praying mother. I was telling somebody today something my grandmother used to say, there's no limit to what the Lord can do as long as you don't touch the glory.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say for Stephen, you know, Stephen's a talker and he commands a room, but he's a really good listener when it comes to spiritual things, you know. Mm-hmm. So if he's looking for direction, he knows how to stay quiet and wait. And I think that's where a lot of this has come from. You know, I think things grow because the moment's right.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, Emily, what else would you like to share about Lead Deep, whether it be in general or with the upcoming Lead Deep, either that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already, or maybe what you've already shared some of what you've gotten out of Lead Deep the last few years, but anything else on that? Or what about Lead Deep, since we call this program Hope Talks, what brings you the most hope about Lead Deep?
Wow, yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's just power in having all of us in one room. You know, it's like when you read Acts, right? And the disciples are gathered in one place. And there's an intensity that happens there that I haven't really seen since my church camp days. Only this is a kind of grown-up version of it. You know, we, at the end of Lead Deep every year, we sing the blessing and we face each other and we bless everybody else who's in the room. And it's incredibly powerful, just knowing that we are one and we are on each other's side and we have each other's back.
Yes.
And it's because God is all of our Father and we're brothers and sisters in a real way, and you can feel it. So that's what gives me hope, like being able to really experience that, not just know it theologically, but experience it. I think there's energy that comes out of that, and it lasts a long, long time afterwards. So I'm excited to see what's going to come out of it this year.
Yeah, that was a really powerful way to end the conference. And can't really even put into words, because it's a God thing, that the impact that we can have. And just, it's a picture of what happens when we speak blessing on others instead of something else. Yeah. You know, it's just a beautiful picture of what the church is called to be.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I guess one thing I would just want to emphasize, I think sometimes when you get in a group like this and you've got, you know, a lot of pastors and then you've got people who aren't pastors, things can kind of start to feel a little separate. And I, I don't want that to happen. I mean, for various reasons, we break our cohorts up according to job titles, and that's pragmatic. That's all that is. But really, we're there as, you know, one mission, one body, one group that's all working together, whether it's from a lay leadership calling, whether it's, you know, I work in the nursery and I manage 25 nursery volunteers, or whether it's a senior pastor of a huge church. So I want to kind of emphasize Lead Deep is for all that. And there is no respecting of persons with that. There's no hierarchy. It's really just all of us supporting each other. So I don't want anyone ever to feel that Lead Deep isn't for them, because it is.
Yeah. And do you have to be from a Nazarene church to go to Lead Deep?
You do not. You know, I will not lie. We are predominantly Nazarene at Lead Deep, just because we know each other and that's how it works. You invite your friends, but absolutely not.
Yeah. I had some Wesleyan friend that was there the first year, I think, and has not been able to come back just because of the way vacations and things, but he just was so impressed with it and how it impacted him in a great way. So I wanted to make sure those listening, if they're desiring to come, they go, well, maybe this is something I can't go to. I just wanted to make sure that they knew they could.
Yeah, and I think very much from a Wesleyan holiness perspective, which, you know, it should be, that's who we are.
That's right.
But there's nothing weird about that. Like I said, I grew up in a Baptist church, and we had probably a little more emphasis on evangelism and conversion than on holiness and discipleship. But these aren't opposites. You know, they're just kind of different areas of emphasis.
Yes.
So I think moving even beyond the Wesleyan holiness tradition, it would be great to have brothers and sisters from other broader traditions join us. We've all got something to say to each other.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Emily. And just in closing, Pastor Margaret, would you mind praying for Lead Deep and for the leaders and for the conference and for those that will come?
Absolutely. I would love to. Well, Father, we just come before you today, so grateful, God, that the only reason any of us really are interested in Lead Deep is because of Jesus. Jesus is the common denominator.
Yes.
I thank you, God, for what you've done in our lives. I thank you for the calling that you place on your people to be ministers of reconciliation. And that looks different for each person. But all of us are ministers. It's what you've called us to be a letter from Christ to the world. And so I just pray today, God, that as this team comes together and is working through the details, that you would give them clarity and discernment. I pray for those who have signed up, for those who haven't signed up yet, God, I pray that you would just bring together the people this year, that you would draw them there, those that need to be there. And I pray, Father, for just all the behind-the-scenes details. God, I know there's always things, but we know that you're in it, and you always work out those details in beautiful ways that we don't even know how to ask for. But you work them out. And so, God, as the signups continue, I pray that you would just place specific messages on the hearts of those that are called to lead and to share as you bring the panels together. God, that there would just be this beautiful tapestry of story entwined with teaching and with conversation. This year, I pray that you would, as we all come and descend upon Lynchburg, and as we leave, that we would be changed to be more like you, and that you would be glorified in our midst. And so I just place the conference from the beginning stages to the final song. God, I pray that you would be undeniable, and I pray that your spirit would minister in beautiful ways. And I just thank you, God, for the gift of salvation and for the gift of heart sanctification, for holiness, and that you save us. But there's so much more that you want to do in our lives. And you sanctify us. You set us on a path. And for the rest of our life, you will make a way for us to live out of a place of heart holiness. And so I just place all of this in your hands, and I trust you with every detail, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Emily, thank you for joining us today on Hope Talks and sharing about Lead Deep. It's been great to have you.
Well, it's been great to talk with you. I look forward to seeing you both.
Yep, yes. We'll look forward to being there. And thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard us talk with Dr. Emily Hetty today about the Lead Deep Conference and leading in the local church, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.